Fred Rugg and Rodney Pete, AM 570 LA Sports. We're all friends, so let's have an agreement today. Let's be brutally honest, all of us. Rodney and I usually are. If you call the show today or you tweet at FredNBCLA, at RodneyPete9, do the same. Let's really get into the Lakers today and talk about the first half of the season. It has come to an end with a thud. They finished the first half a game below 500, playing a team like Atlanta, a team they should have beaten, a team they could have beaten. And at the end of the game, some things happened to make you wonder in the back of your mind exactly what is going on. Rodney, your thoughts on the first half of the season?
It was disappointing. They showed flashes of you know, a team that was learning. I think early on, it was let's let the team settle in, get used to playing with LeBron. Then it was about, no, you got to win. At the end of the day, you can get settled in, you got to win. I thought they went out and on Christmas Day had one of the best games, if not the best game of the season, and beating the Warriors. But LeBron got hurt that game and missed 17 after that. And that threw a big wrench, I believe, in the whole program and us leading up to this All-Star break because he wasn't available. And even now that he's back, it's clear that he's not close to even being 100%. A 75% LeBron James, is you'd rather have him on the court than 100% of nothing. So it's disappointing because the way they've gone into the All-Star break with losing to Philadelphia the way they did and then certainly losing to Atlanta last night in an ugly fashion, as you mentioned, it's not the way you want to go into the All-Star break. So it's been a disappointing first half of the season, I think.
Yeah, and I also think when you look at the young guys, I don't think you can give them high marks. I know Lonzo was hurt. I know Ingram was hurt for a while. Kuzma sat out a game. I don't think you can give them high marks. I'm not sure how much. They have improved, but I'm not sure how much from a year ago. And this improvement is gradual, and it is slow. And frankly, it's been disappointing. And people were concerned when the Lakers were going to trade everybody for Anthony Davis. Well, how can you give everybody away? The thing that tells me is that in the minds of those that make the decisions for the Lakers, the young guys aren't going to win. We're going to give all of this to get Anthony Davis because we believe that one guy with LeBron and a bunch of other guys has a better chance to win than the group we have now. I don't think there's any other way you can look at it, Rodney.
Yeah, and you got to throw on top of it. And I'm not making excuses for the young guys because I've seen, you know, flashes, and I wouldn't throw Kuzma in the mix because I think he has improved. I think he really has stepped up his game from a year ago. Just needs to be consistent, and he also needs to stay healthy. You know, we see it from Brandon Ingram, and I think that's the problem is that we see it from him every fourth game or so that he takes charge, he's aggressive, he goes to the hole, he shoots and takes people off the dribble, does all the things that we thought he could do, but it only happens once every four or five games. That's a problem. You know, the thing about LeBron and when he goes to a team, yes, there's going to be carnage. There's going to be an adjustment. And it's even harder for a young guy. And the thing about it is you're not just getting a new player that you got to adjust to when you get a person like LeBron James. Yeah, he's a superstar, and superstars go different places. But it's everything that comes with it. It's all of the outside noise that comes with it. And for a young guy, that sometimes takes a longer adjustment than, say, veterans. It's why, you know, people always say LeBron likes to play with veterans, wants veterans on his team, because they can handle the outside noise of him being on a particular team. And I think the young guys struggle with that, especially early on, because LeBron is such a wave. It's such a gigantic, bigger-than-life force, not just on the court, but off the court as well, that it's sometimes difficult for young guys to kind of adapt to, and it takes some time.
Bill Plaschke wrote a piece in the Times, and I thought it was very well stated, that basically what was promised has not been delivered. That's what he said when it comes to LeBron. There's going to be an adjustment period, but people's expectations were much greater. We know he was hurt. We know he missed those games. But still in all, there was a greater expectation. And Plaschke suggested that when he came to town, he said, you know, we don't need to win a championship immediately because I've won my championships.
That's not what he said.
Basically.
That's not what he said.
What'd he say?
He said, I'm not chasing rings.
I'm not.
That's the problem with the social media and sound bites nowadays is that you take one thing that guy says and all of a sudden that's all he doesn't want to win. He doesn't want to win here.
Well, he's not chasing. Win here. All right, he's not chasing rings. No, no, that's fine. He's not chasing rings. And you're right. Take that any way you will have it.
Yeah, but he did a full interview, Fred, and one of the questions was that. And so if you're going to take that part out of it, then you got to go back and really analyze the whole context of the interview.
All right.
I see what kind of day it's going to be, Fred. No, we're going to go at it today. I see it. Get ready, people. The phone lines are open.
I know what Fred means, though, Rodney, too, because he says, I don't have anything to prove to anybody, which is true, and I'm not chasing rings, which is, okay, that's fine. But, again, to Fred's point, Laker fans did have an expectation that he came here with the idea of winning, and our friend Rob Parker said from the very beginning, is he here to actually win championships and help the Lakers win, or is he here for his business interests?
Well, guys,
or is winning a byproduct of the fact?
Let's be clear. I mean, everyone says that, you know, and if you ask Michael Jordan in his prime, you know, even after the fourth one, he would say, no, I'm not coming back to chase. Even after he came back, I'm not coming back to chase rings. I'm not. But, yeah, you want to win a ring. Tom Brady has said it over and over again. I got nothing to prove. I got nothing else to prove. I'm just going out to play football. But, yeah, you know, what did he say before the Super Bowl? We're still here. We're still here. He used that certain thing as motivation. So guys are going to say that. No, I don't know what the text or the context of the question or the interview was. But, yeah, people are saying, do you feel like you came here, you have to win a championship? I'm sure it went that way. You have to win to validate your career. And his answer was, no, I don't think so. I don't have anything to prove, which he's right.
If he's not chasing rings, then why is he and his agent trying to manipulate a trade for
Anthony Davis? Ask the question, right. Adam. You know
no,
what I'm saying?
But I'm agreeing. He's trying to win a championship, yes. Obviously. He's just trying not to make it. I think when he said that initially, that was about, I'm not trying to force things. I'm not trying to downplay the young guys. We're going to let this thing build a little bit. He wasn't setting the expectations too high.
No, I misunderstood you. You're absolutely right. You know, if he's not trying to win a championship, why is he out there, I mean, in 1 year trying to get Anthony Davis here, trying to get, you know, as many guys as he can to help him out. Otherwise, he'd just be in L.A. and let the young guys flow. Oh, no, the young guys are great. I can play with them for the next 3 years and just live my life in L.A. I got nothing else to prove. No, that's not the case. He wants other guys to come here with him.
Obviously, he wasn't satisfied halfway through a season with where things were going. So, yeah, he's trying to win.
And that's what Plaschke is also saying. The backstage drama has to end. The winning basketball has to begin. Last night at the end of the game, they're in Atlanta, and it's a situation where the Lakers have to foul. You've got to foul. You've got to kill the clock. You've got to send them to the line and try to get the ball back. And if you watch the game, you saw LeBron on the court. He knows somebody's got to foul. I mean, he gets it. Maybe the young guys are up in outer space or something. He knows. He didn't foul anybody. Young guys didn't foul anybody. They took a shot of Luka on the sideline and, you know, looked like his head was going to fall off. Because you just know somebody has to do something. He didn't do anything. And you have to wonder, as Plaschke suggests, the drama has to end. You got to wonder if maybe, and it might seem a bit nefarious, you know, we need to reconstruct this thing. We need to get this turned around in a way where I am comfortable now. Maybe I am not comfortable in this situation.
Let me ask you before the season started.
Right.
And maybe Bill has a quote that you can go back and figure out what he wrote. Before the season started, what was your expectation? What did you say? That you weren't saying that the Lakers need to win a championship, right?
Correct.
Right? You were saying they were going to make the playoffs.
I said they'd go to the second round of the playoffs.
Okay, second round of the playoffs.
Correct.
Is that still a possibility?
I can't back off on it.
They're what? What are they? Back to two games out, three games out. What are they out now?
Two and a half games out.
So are the Lakers making the playoffs still a possibility?
Yeah. But the odds
are the Lakers making to the second round a possibility.
In my mind, I'm going to stick with what I said. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I'm not going to walk that back.
Okay. Because people are acting right now like. He came here, and the expectations were for them to beat the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals.
Do you think? I don't think
so,
Rodney.
That's the way people are acting.
I don't think so.
But the expectation was, we just got to get better, and we're going to get to the – we got to make the playoffs. That was the goal, right? Make the playoffs. We're halfway through, and they're outside looking in, yeah, but they still are in striking distance of making the playoffs.
I think the problem is, though, they have seemed so very inconsistent. Now, LeBron's injury really crippled them. But when he has played – they have still seemed inconsistent. He has not been inconsistent, but the rest of them have. One night you beat Boston, then you lose to Atlanta. It makes no sense. I mean, you'll beat a good team. You'll battle Oklahoma City. You'll win that one. And then you'll turn around and lose to somebody that you should beat by 30
but
points.
But that's nothing new. That's what we've said from first week of the season. Oh, these guys, oh, they got it going. They got it together. And then in the next game, it's like, oh, did you see Brandon Ingram? He's starting to get it. I like the way Lonzo played. Oh, he started. Three games go by, and they don't do it. That has been the theme throughout the whole season. Not just in the last week. It's been the theme all season long is they've been inconsistent. That's what we talked. We go back and play the tapes of Bill Oram. It's like that from day one. It was like, oh, they can't be consistent. They can go out and play great, and then they play terrible. Brandon Ingram can have a great night, then he has a terrible night.
And we don't want to make excuses for them, but I do think a big reason is they have not had a full complement of players, have not been fully healthy the entire, whether it was suspensions, whether it was injuries. Look, before LeBron got hurt and they went to Golden State on Christmas Day, they were riding a winning streak. They were playing their best ball of the season at that point. They were in the fourth seed before LeBron got injured. And I do think there was an adjustment with these young guys having to incorporate LeBron just because of the kind of player that he is. Then they had to adjust to him not being there for that stretch of games, and now they have to adjust to him coming back. That's not really easy, especially with a lot of young guys who don't have much experience anyway.
That's true.
And this is the difference between the West and the East. You can't have this many slip-ups in the West that they've had this season and still have a foothold in the playoff picture. And I think that's where the expectations come in. People thought, at least we know for sure they're going to be a playoff team with LeBron, and now that that's in doubt, that's where the panic comes in.
All right, so last night in the Atlanta game, at the end of the game, when somebody needs to do something and no one did anything, why wouldn't LeBron foul somebody? He knows that he's supposed to do that.
The only out I would give him is the fact that he knew that Trae Young had the ball and he was trying to force him to pass to somebody else because Trae Young shoots like 80% from the line or 88%. And they did end up passing it to a big man who missed one of two. Mm-hmm. That could be my only thought.
They try to force a trap. Teams do that more often now at the end of games where they don't foul right away. I think they foul with 4 seconds left. Yeah. They're trying to get that quick turnover because they just had one in the last minute too. They just had a turnover.
But after the game, and are you getting the sense that LeBron himself is becoming a bit frustrated with the situation? Are you getting that sense?
Well, there was an interesting exchange in the post game where you had to kind of see LeBron's body language when they asked him the question, but they were asking him if it's a possibility that his teammates may have checked out or lost focus in going into this game, knowing it was the final game before the trip, before going on the All-Star break. And LeBron simply answered, possibly. And he had a smirk on his face when he said it.
He looked like he had to bite his lip.
And he almost physically bit his tongue. Like he sucked his lips into his mouth and almost like he physically wanted to say more, but he knew I should probably just stop with saying that's a possibility. Like he feels that guys in the locker room possibly checked out. And then Dave McMenamin on the four letter in a report this morning said the same thing. He talked to an unknown player and said a player basically said he didn't know if the team cared enough about the position that they're in right now.
If that's true. Then you understand why they would trade everybody and just get LeBron and Anthony Davis and start over, if in fact that's true. I'm just saying, when you look at the total body of work, without LeBron, they're horrible. I mean, let's just be honest. With LeBron, and we said this before the season started, you got the best player on the planet, the guy's going to take you. He'll put you on his back and you'll go. But I don't think things have progressed as well or as quickly as he would like. And the sense is he's getting frustrated with it, Rodney.
Yeah, you can go into a situation and say, look, I'm going to play with these young guys. I'm going to see what it's like. They'll rally around. They'll get it. But sometimes guys don't get it, and they don't get it in the time frame you need them to get it. And if you're a player like LeBron, I mean, he's in that mode of Kobe and MJ and Magic and those guys that, you know, they want the guys around him to be on the same page with them and have that same fire, that same drive, that same energy with them night in and night out. And when they don't get it, it becomes more and more frustrating. Now, you can say that at the beginning of the year. You can say that at the beginning of a game. But when the rubber meets the road and it's crunch time and it's like, you know, which is now for the rest of the season for the Lakers, yeah, it does become frustrating because what you thought may happen is not happening. All of a sudden, now you've got to adjust, and now it becomes frustrating to you knowing that you come from a place of winning in a winning environment, and that's not happening because you don't have the confidence in your supporting cast. That becomes a problem.
give the Lakers a first half grade. 866-987-2570. That's it. You've seen the first half of the season. 866-987-2570. We'll open the lines. Give the Lakers a first half grade. And what do you think needs to be done? What about Luke Walton? That's next.
Rodney, Pete, Fred Rogan. It's that time. We do it every hour. It's time to put a grand in your hand.
AM 570 LA Sports has your shot at $1,000. Now.
Let's do it right now.
Text the nationwide keyword BALL to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. That's BALL to 200-200.
That's right. And when you get that text back, or you get a call back, but mainly if you get a text back and you don't recognize the number, you got to answer the phone. That's the only way we put a grand in your hand.
All right, give the Lakers a first half grade and tell us what should be done. You can tweet us, Fred NBCLA, at RodneyPete9 as well. Call us at 866-987-2570. Justin Molbin tweets to us, Rodney, Lakers have been an utter disappointment, F, all around for being out of the playoffs. Sean G tweets, my friend, the question you should be answering for Los Angeles is, who's got a better chance at making the playoffs, the up-and-coming Clippers or the anemic Lakers? And Andrew Portillo says, maybe LeBron's injury wasn't the wrench. Maybe LeBron is the wrench. I don't think so. Lakers were subpar without him. They're subpar with him. Can baseball start already? Okay, David and Yorba Linda, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's I was going to give them a D plus here, but that's being too nice. It's a D. A solid D. The team has just been utterly disappointed. At one time, I never thought at this season that they would be a game under 500.
And more importantly, 2.5 back in the playoff race.
And especially behind the Clippers, the other LA team, and the Sacramento Kings. Of all teams, to be behind those two teams is just embarrassing for the Lakers. And I don't know. And I think for Luke Walton as well, I think after this season, if the Lakers definitely don't make the playoffs, I think his time is up.
Thanks, David.
Yeah, it's I agree with you. You took the plus off and made it a D. I get that. But yeah, disappointed. I think if you would have talked to anybody, and most of us, we said it, that if you looked up at the All-Star break, would the Lakers be above or below 500? We would all said, with LeBron, absolutely, above 500, and they're below. And the optics are bad right now for the Lakers.
And that's the key, just watching them. It doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Eric and Hollywood, go ahead.
Yeah, I got to say D+. I'm going to give them a plus instead of an F just because of the LeBron injury kind of threw off them. But staying healthy is part of the gig. So with that being said, D+, I think the defense has been lackadaisical. They're too up and down on offense, losing to irrelevant teams night in, night out, like again last night. Just inexcusable all around. Luke Walton, I think should have cut him loose at this point and not wait to the end of the season. It would have been a mercy firing. Just disgraceful all the way around for the Lakers with the way they've performed, even without LeBron being injured. And the rest of these guys known there on auditioning for their jobs, and they're still coming out flat, especially Ingram. I think he's the most disappointing out of all of them. And these Kuzma has shown flashes. So that's about it, right? I'm so disgusted with this team.
Thanks, Eric. Boy, I guess he didn't pull any punches. he wasn't pleased with anything.
Nothing.
What about Luke Walton? A mercy firing. What do you think of that?
What do you mean, right now?
Well, that's what he said. Maybe they should just fire him. It's a mercy firing.
No.
I don't think that's mercy on somebody.
It'll be more disruptive, I think, than anything. But, you know, anything can happen over the All-Star break. They got, 9 days to figure out what's going to happen. If they are going to do it, this would be the time.
All right, let's go. Let's go, Frank and Covina. You're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Yeah, man, definitely a D. The only reason why it's not even an F is I just think that they have a lot of good talent. They're all young, and they brought this. They brought an icon to this team, and they just didn't know how to react to it. Like the previous caller, the defense is completely lackadaisical. There's a lot of young talent on the team. We do need, as much as I love Luke, we need a coach that can kind of get the best out of these guys, and they're just not getting it with Luke. So I kind of agree with the guy, like, hey, look, I know you want to wait until the end of the year, but let's just get him done now. I mean, everybody knows he's going to get fired. Everybody knows. So why wait until the end of the year?
Thanks, Frank. I'm not so sure everybody knows he's going to get fired.
You think Luke knows?
No. I don't think Luke knows he's going to get fired. I understand that you think everybody else does. I'm not so sure Luke does. Oscar in Baldwin Park, go ahead.
I give him two grades, a C for the actual basketball team and a D on the front office. The C because I don't think they're inconsistent. They don't play defense. You know, they had some injuries that kind of hurt them. But the D to the front office, because they let a lot of stuff get out. You know, imagine with going back to when he told Luke off earlier in the year and just this whole trade thing, man. I really put this on the front office. I think they created a lot of unnecessary tension on the team. And then they have LeBron. So having LeBron, it comes naturally also. So I don't think anybody managed it well from top to bottom. So overall, a C for the team and a D for the front office.
Oscar, thanks. Yeah, I think you might be making too much out of that conversation. I know it was blown up big time nationally that Magic had with Luke Walton. But Rodney, as you pointed out back then, you know, they have conversations all the time. Yeah. That's not unusual.
No, not unusual, and not unusual for conversations to get heated. You know, it happens all the time, and not only in basketball but other sports. But that conversation that, you know, got blown out of proportion is something that, again, like you said, is something that Magic and Luke have on a regular basis, and Rob Blinko.
Nick in Pasadena, you're on AM570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Okay, I give the Lakers two grades. Prior to the injury to LeBron, they were hosting a playoff series in fourth position. I give them a B-plus for that part of the season. The team looked like they were going to grow. But just between everything, it's just the team has stuttered and the kids have not shown up. So since the injuries, I'm going to have to give them a C-minus, below average, very below average. They're two games out. And I want to give a shout-out to Alma's Cookies and Company in Compton. They're the best. Best catfish in town, don't you think?
Thanks, Nick.
Good shout-out.
Yeah, thanks for the shout-out. Does Luke Walton have to share any of this responsibility, Rodney? Is there anything he could be doing?
To share responsibility for what?
I mean, just the way they've played. I mean, they've had injuries.
Is he the coach?
He is.
Yes. Of course he shares responsibility.
Now, the front office does, too, because they're the ones who try to buck the entire trend of how teams around LeBron are built. We're going to put them around a bunch of different ball handlers, and everybody can switch everything. They might not be the best outside shooters, but we're going to D people up, and we're going to be able to create from all over the court. And that is not working. And now they haven't blown it up, but you have to end up trading a guy like Zubats, a valuable piece away, just to get a guy like Muscala who can shoot a little bit from the outside, because you found out the formula you entered the season with is not working.
Well, I think they went too far that way. But I do believe that they really thought that, look, in order to be, you can't beat Golden State at their game, right? And LeBron's figured that out, and so you got to beat them in a different way. And yes, you do have. I mean, that doesn't mean you don't have any shooters at all. You got to have some shooters, but I think that they think that there's a different way that you have to go about beating Golden State. I look at a team like Philadelphia. You know, that team, the way they play, how long they are, how physical they are. They're a team that has a good balance of shooters with Redick and now Tobias Harris. They have a formula to beating Golden State.
All right, let's do John in Laverne. Go ahead. You're on AM570 LA Sports. Turn down your radio, John.
Oh, is this John in Laverne?
John, turn down your radio.
I think the Lakers need to step it up a notch for the remainder.
Okay, we can't hear you, John. Make sure your radio is turned down when you call. Very important, because we already know what we said, so we don't want to hear ourselves. Because we already know that. Chewy in Long Beach, go ahead.
Chewy!
Hey, happy hump day, fellas. You know what? I hear a lot of negativity. I hear a lot of pessimism. I'm giving us a C-. We know it's there. We have the capability. We have the talent. I think what we're lacking is focus. Put Kevin to work and find out how many games we would have won this year if our free throw shooting was just a little bit better. I mean, we could have a 7-game swing right here in the win column just from free throws alone. Now, that's youth, okay? That's not a problem. Once we get our focus together, once we get our continuity together, I think we're going to be fine and we're still formidable. C-.
Chewy, I don't think I have to do with that much work. They're dead last in the league in free throw shooting. So if they were slightly better, I'm sure they would have like four or five more wins.
Absolutely, and we wouldn't be having this conversation. But again, go back to before LeBron got hurt. Where you said they were fourth, right? Fourth in the West, right? They were climbing and playing well, fourth in the West. He gets hurt. That does throw a wrench in the whole program. Like you said, they got to learn how to play without him when they were just getting, you know, comfortable playing with him. And all of a sudden, that turns into playing 17, 18 games without LeBron. That's a big adjustment. And throw on top of that, you lose LeBron, but you also lose Rondo, who's the other leader on the team. So, that, I mean, again, it's not making excuses because there's no excuse for missing free throws and not playing defense. But we're looking at it from a standpoint of they're 28 and 29 right now, under 500. And it just doesn't look good because the games in which they've lost have been very ugly. Ugly losses to bad teams.
Let's spin the wheel.
Rogan and Rodney Roulette.
No, no.
No, absolutely not.
I don't think there's any shot in hell.
Hell.
No.
And enjoy sweet savings on all Clippers March home games with no taxes and no fees. Visit clippers.com/love. Use the promo code love. All right, Vic, you have some things you want to discuss here quickly?
I'm hearing things. So much.
Well, you oftentimes hear things.
So any thing can come into my ear at any moment.
You're telling me. Los Lakers. Is this the abyss? Obviously, they're under 500, 2.5 back of a playoff slot with 25 to play. Desperate times call for desperate measures. Rumors are flying to wake up the young bloods currently caminando a la muerte, the walking dead, lining up for Luke's gig. Jason Kidd, Mark Jackson, Ty Lue, Be Sure, and even LeVar Ball.
How about new?
One word. Oi.
Oi. He would shake things up, Vic.
You're telling me, Cope.
LeVar would shake it up for sure.
Yeah, LeVar would shake it up, Fred.
LeVar Ball is not in the running for anything.
He is in the running.
He is, Fred.
Is in the running.
He's not in the running.
Yes, he is. There are odds on betting websites that say LeVar Ball is in the running for the Laker head coach.
Why do you think he's been quiet up until lately? Why do you think he's been so quiet?
Who is this guy?
He could be the head coach of the Lakers, Fred.
No, he's not going to be
working on
coach.
A deal behind the scenes.
Is that what they're doing? Good. Everybody go bet. You know what? If you want to bet on LeVar Ball being the head coach of the Lakers, just send your money to me. Just send it to me right now.
Sometimes you got to shake it up, Fred.
Yeah, they're not shaking anything up. There's a better chance of LeVar Ball's son being traded than LeVar Ball. That's what they'll do. They'll trade Lonzo and make LeVar the head coach of the Lakers. That makes a lot of sense.
My stuff to wake up the lethargic Lakers. They're going to fly in. I'm hearing this. Bob Knight to get in the young blood's faces.
That is like the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
A little motivational speech, aren't they?
Exactly.
And if, Vic, wait, did you say Bobby Knight?
Bob Knight. And if Bob's truculent flavor falls flat, sources close say, out of Tibet, Dalai Lama. He'll get a shot. Dalai Lama will get a shot.
Vic,
a little bit of dichotomy between the Dalai Lama and Bob Knight.
Yeah,
Knight,
Vic,
say.
You no, threw Vic. That in there on your own. No Dalai Lama's coming.
That's not even close.
That's serious yin-yang.
There's no yang here, Vic. That's not happening.
You guys into the dog show?
Love the dog show.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, there were local dogs in the dog show. One from Reseda.
Mm-hmm.
And where was the other one?
One from Burbank,
and
right?
one from Burbank.
Yeah.
We're working on getting the names of the owners.
Yes, we'll see if we could possibly get one of the owners on the show this week, by the way.
Love the dog show.
Yeah.
Well, the 143rd Westminster Dog Show, always wonderful.
Always wonderful.
King was the winner.
King.
The Wire Fox Terrier was best in show, King. And following all the boxers and the Sussex Spaniels, more dogs. How about the Lakers' defense?
And it is no good.
Cameo appearance. With the canines. You guys into America's Got Talent?
No. That one wasn't bad, Vic. I'll give you that one. That wasn't bad at all.
And nothing of value was lost.
Oh, Vic. A
little more stuff for you. America's Got Talent. You guys watch that show?
Yeah.
There's a big hosting flux
going on.
AGT going through more changes.
Oh, no.
Adios to Mel B.
No!
Heidi Klum. And Tyra Banks.
Do you even watch the show, Rodney?
I do.
Absolutely.
I do watch the show.
They're off the show.
Doing the World Challenge now, whatever it is.
The World Championships.
Yeah, World Championships.
And say, hola, the Gabrielle Union's in, and Julianne Hough will replace. And rumors are flying Shaq O'Neal and Charles Barkley on the AGT talent bubble.
Fire, liar, pants on fire.
Replacing who? Simon?
It's a role. Well, Simon's always in.
So they're going to replace Howie with Shaq?
Howie's in as well. Howie.
They got to get another ball guy, right? So Charles is in.
Those shaved heads are rolling. But the AGT talent shakeup also is.
No.
Chuck in there.
Imagine Chuck and Shaquille.
They're not getting rid of Heidi Klum.
Klum's out.
No.
Clint, what are you talking about?
I think he should be ashamed of himself.
He's like, man, that waltz was terrible. What you talking about? I can two-step better than that.
Kevin's been great.
Thank you, Doc.
Good stuff, Kev.
Oh, appreciate
good
it.
Thing. I'm hearing a lot of things.
We can tell.
Any
what are you hearing,
come into my ear at any moment.
I mean, the Dalai Lama couldn't hurt
not,
the Lakers.
Not the Dalai Lama.
The Dalai Lama ain't the coming. Lama,
you want motivation.
Dalai's not coming.
You want motivation.
I mean, talked to him last night.
This team lacks motivation.
Talked to him last night.
Yeah, I talked to Dalai Lama.
Again?
You called him on his iPhone?
Yeah, my guy. That's my guy,
straight
the Dalai Lama.
Hey, straight to Tibet, man.
What did D say?
The D said he ain't coming. Not until they start playing defense.
The Lama knows. Lama knows.
What about Bob Knight, Fred? You talked to him?
No, I didn't talk to Bob Knight.
I think he should be ashamed of
I thought
himself.
You called him Robert.
Robert, yeah, I do.
Yeah, you guys
that is like
that.
The dumbest thing I've ever heard.
No, I didn't talk to Bob Knight.
Okay. What else are you hearing, Vic?
Well, you know, Luke wants everyone to look within themselves in these next 9 days. You know, a little introspection. And really find out what's going on with you. Look in the mirror. It's look in the mirror. Take a couple days off. No hoops. No nothing to do with basketball. Just look at yourself in the mirror.
How about new?
No, Fred. He passed out a cassette tape of "Man in the Mirror," the single by Michael Jackson, to every player and told them to listen to it.
Stop it.
With a Walkman in
stop
front of the mirror.
It, stop it.
Stop it.
That actually happened.
Stop
about.
It.
That couldn't hurt.
Stop it. You didn't even say it. You said a cassette tape.
Oh, yeah. For the kids listening today, let me take you down memory lane to explain what a cassette tape is.
Check that. Fix that.
Exactly.
Look at yourself in the mirror, huh?
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
What do you think if the Lakers, if Brandon Ingram were to look himself in the mirror, what would he see besides a lot of tattoos? What would he see?
Not if much. They were he's pretty skinny.
Right. He would see that.
Thin man.
What do you think? If they looked themselves in the mirror, what do you think they would see? Every one of them. What do you think Josh Hart would see? What would Lonzo Ball see? What would they see?
Their trip to Cancun.
Getting away from it all.
Don't be pulling Nick Van Exel.
Oh.
Just don't be pulling any Nick Van Exel.
They may have.
What do you mean by that?
They got to go back and refocus. I mean, this is a great 9-day break for the Lakers.
At least, Nick, that was at the end of the season, Vic. They still got games to play. They still have a chance to make the playoffs, and they're already giving up. Come on now.
Well, a lot of guys, you know, were already in Cancun mode last night. Let's face it. They don't understand.
How can they be in Cancun mode last night?
They were in Cancun mode because they don't understand what
get
a playoff.
Get me to the All-Star break. Just get me there. Get me there. I need a break. We all need a break. That mentally, you can go there.
I mean, even Brian had two bottles of wine. They left the arena with. I mean, he's ready to just, you know, party a little bit before he goes to Charlotte. I mean, even Braun had two bottles of wine, you know, ready to go.
If you were him, wouldn't you start drinking heavily after a game like that?
I would have three bottles of wine.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm telling you right.
Vic, you don't have another one, do you?
We don't have enough time.
Sorry, Vic.
That was it.
Yeah, we don't have enough time.
I hear you.
Keep it going, Vic.
I'm hearing things.
What are you hearing?
Well, I heard the...
No. No, Vic. No.
Until the next roulette.
Okay.
Until the next,
next roulette.
I was looking forward to that.
Mm.
No, senor!
Okay, thank you, Vic.
My pleasure.
That was very deep. So you think the Lakers have problems? Oh, there's another team that has problems. And it involves a player the Lakers wanted. You know what? It's the old screw me, no, screw you.
Today's afternoon delight is Keanu Reeves by Logic. The much-anticipated track was released in late January, a full 9 months after he performed the song live during a concert at Penn State. In the song, the Maryland MC pokes fun at his own fame, makes light of the fact that people accuse him of always mentioning he's biracial and more. Again, today's afternoon delight is Keanu Reeves by Logic.
Why didn't we go with Black Spider-Man?
Too mainstream there, Fred. Come on, I have to dig a little bit deeper.
Keanu Reeves, Fred.
Everybody knows Black Spider-Man. That was one of his biggest hits off his last album.
Yeah. Right.
Is that your favorite track of his,
course.
By the way?
Okay, yeah, that's why I brought it up.
Got it.
You know, once I'd like you to pick a song that, you know,
well,
speaks to me.
We had to go. We had to go Matrix, Fred. We need somebody to take that blue pill instead of the red one.
I wouldn't have guessed that Black Spider-Man would have been your favorite track.
Okay, so. Fred, look at you up on it.
I'm a man of mystery.
Clearly.
You know what I am? An enigma.
That's right.
I'm an enigma. All right. Hey, we just got this in. Brad Turner of the Times, our buddy, says, everybody slow your roll. Luke Walton's job, not in jeopardy, at least right now. There have been no internal discussions about Luke Walton's job status. Walton will definitely finish the season, has the full support of the Laker front office, according to a source within the Laker front office. Now, Javier LA88 tweets, ultimately the responsibility to have the players ready for game time, no matter how old they are, no matter what is going on around them, is that of the head coach. Luke Walton has to go if the Lakers want to win. Javier LA88, sorry, they're not listening to you. That seems to be the latest report, that he's fine and he survives.
Yeah, and I'm good with that. I mean, I'd never like coaches getting fired in the middle of the season. I think it's disruptive. It rarely ends well. But, you know, and on a team where you're searching for stability, you're searching for some sort of normalcy, and a team that's been up and down as much as the Lakers and hadn't gone through so much turmoil as the Lakers did during, you know, up until the trade deadline and after, is that what you really want to do to this team, is fire the head coach right in the middle of all this and bring somebody in new, even if it's somebody that's an assistant coach on the team? I think it just creates more chaos than you actually want by firing the coach right now.
You ever lose a coach midseason when you were playing?
Yeah, think about that one, Fred. No. Not midseason, no. No, after season, but no, not midseason. Lost a coordinator, but not a head coach, no.
What happened with the coordinator?
They didn't like his direction. And he got fired like six, seven games in.
What team?
The Lions.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what happens when a guy gets fired? Does he come in and talk to you guys at least and say, hey, it's...
The guy that got fired?
Yeah.
No, his desk cleaned out midnight.
What are those? Is that how it works?
He's gone.
They never come in and say,
no,
hey, guys.
No, they don't come in. No, they're gone. Once they hear that they've been fired or they're gone, let go, they're gone. And then they may call you, you know, have somebody send their things, but they'll call you afterwards and say, hey, you know, they wanted to go in a different direction and they let me go. So, I best of luck to you. Bye.
Too bad the Pelicans didn't tell Anthony Davis that, because now they've got a problem on their hands. Anthony Davis, who, by all accounts, pretty quiet guy. Fair to say, Rodney?
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, keeps to his business, plays the game, has had success in New Orleans. All fair to say?
Yeah.
Okay. And we also know it's fair to say that he wanted
personal success in New Orleans. Right,
personal success.
Although they did, you know, make it the second round of playoffs last year.
Right, so let's give him that.
Yeah.
Let's give him that. And pretty much stays to himself, but wanted out, and they didn't accommodate that request. So now they played last night. And they lost to Orlando, 118-88. And the team was listless. Anthony Davis, man, never says anything. Keeps to himself. Nice enough guy. Quote, we sucked. After the game, we sucked. Nobody was interested in playing, is what we looked like. Davis just had 3 points on 1 of 9 shooting. He was outplayed by the Orlando center. Obviously, I missed a lot of shots, a lot of easy shots, layups and stuff like that I normally make early in the game. But they came out more desperate. They played like they were playing for something, and they showed it. I don't think Anthony Davis has ever said anything like that before.
How do you know?
Well, I've never seen anything like that. Maybe he has, but it's not been reported.
Oh, he used to go off on people at Kentucky. Absolutely. 100%. Ask Calipari, for sure. He was a leader like that. He spoke his voice. I don't know if he's ever said anything like this. I think this comes out even more because of the situation, you know, obviously because he demanded a trade and now everything is public that he looks the wrong way. I think people are going to report about it. If he shaves his brow a little bit, people are going to, you know, report about it. If he smirks on the bench, people are going to report about it. It just gets heightened because of the situation. But I doubt that this is the first time that he's ever come out of a game or spoken to reporters afterwards and said, we didn't play well, we sucked, or I sucked, or the team sucked, or we need to play better. I doubt this is the first time he's ever said something like that.
When you look at what the Laker locker room is possibly, and Magic came in and talked to everybody and tried to settle them down and say, you're not babies, you're professionals, and that's what they are. What do you think this did to the New Orleans locker room? A guy admits, I want out. I don't want to be here. I want to go to a place where I can win. They don't move him. And now all of these guys that play with him every night are looking at him going, A, he wants to be out, and B, he doesn't think we can win.
Yeah, I think the same thing with Magic said, you know, to the guys. It's a business. You got to understand that. And if you play long enough, it's a business, you know. And it's unfortunate, but sometimes you got to impose your will. And certain guys have the ability to go out and stand up and say, you know, I want to move on to somewhere else. As a player on that team, you know, again, at the end of the day, you got to take care of yourself and handle your own business. And if you go out and tank it and you go out and lose and you go out and don't play well yourself, you're only hurting yourself. So I think most guys get it and most guys understand they're not going to resent him for that. And you got to look at, you know, we just talked about the mirror. You got to look at yourself in the mirror, and New Orleans does too. It's like, are we a team that's going anywhere? I mean, if I could get out of here, I would try to get out of here too. So, you know, I don't think it's that big a deal in that locker room that he stated that, because I think they know what kind of guy he is, that when he steps on the court, he's going to give it his all. But, you know, you're human too. So, there's going to be a little bit of that. But I think most of the guys are mature enough to understand, hey, this is a business too, and he's got to do what he's got to do.
Manuel and Gardena, you're on AM570 LA Sports. What grade do you give the Lakers in the first half?
Rogan and Rodney. I got it. Incomplete. You know what I mean? As of right now, the youngsters just got to step it up, man, plain and simple. You have LeBron James, and it just has to be done. As far as the other stuff, I think the front office really owes it to Luke to give him to the end of the season. I mean, hey, it's do or die right now, so you might as well let them go. And if not, I mean, I see Mark Jackson in the future, if not. All right, fellas?
Appreciate it, Manny. Thanks. Everybody always says Mark Jackson. Everybody always says, oh, it's going to be Mark Jackson. I know. You know Mark Jackson.
Yeah.
We both know Mark Jackson. I mean, if you live in a certain area, you can run into him at the gas station. He's a wonderful guy. Why doesn't Mark Jackson get another job?
I've been asking that question my entire career, Fred Rogan. When you have a chance to hire someone as good as I am and someone like LeBron James, the best basketball player on the planet.
Is that Mark Jackson?
That's not bad.
Thank you.
That's not bad
at all.
That's
like the only one that I do.
Kevin's been great.
I can't do Doc as well.
Oh, all right. No, I don't understand. Every time there's a job open, Mark Jackson is going to be at the top of the list. Why doesn't Mark Jackson get a job?
It's got to be the right job. Part of it's got to be the right job, and then part of it is, you know, a situation he left, you know, and it didn't end well up there. So that kind of gets around a little bit too. And then, you know, part of it, I think, you know, there was talk about him going to the Knicks at one point, but do you really want that job? You know what I mean? And, you know, we saw Steve Kerr. They tried to back up the truck to give Steve Kerr that job. He didn't want it, you know, and he got the job that he wanted to. So a lot of factors involved in that.
We will continue on talking about the Lakers today, but also the Dodgers, day two of camp. David Vasse is with us just before he jumps on the plane to go to Arizona, but he's been on the phone all day talking to people there, and he's next.